Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Barbecue Shop Talk. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Barbecue Shop Talk right here on BarbecueSuperstars.com. I'm going to give you a phone number you can call in tonight if you have a question. We already have a question of the week we're going to explore here in a little bit, but if you have, think of something, you're listening after, you're welcome to give us a call at 347-202-0263. Again, that's 347-202-0263. Got a good show for you tonight. It's a little more laid back. We have one guest, Dupree Percival of Dupree's Catering and Sentence Inn. You've heard us talking a little bit about his facility down there and brunch and smoke on the water coming up and especially food store. So we're going to bring him in and talk with him here in just a little bit. We also want to let you know you can hit us on Facebook at Barbecue Shop Talk. If you go to BarbecueShopTalk.com, I placed a recipe on it just a couple days ago, and we'll be doing some more of Tim's recipes starting tomorrow and over the weekend. The first one up is a bacon-wrapped sausage bites with some smoking cold sauce and brown sugar, and it is really, really good. I encourage you to go out there and check it out and pull a recipe, get back to us, let us know if you like the recipe. And Tim's recipes, 10 or 12 of them, will probably be up by the end of the weekend. And I know Tim had a great weekend this past weekend and the event he was in, so did John. So anyway, Tim, you want to kick it off for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what we'll do is run over the schedule real quick for the upcoming weeks, and then we'll get to Dupree. Looking at the SCBA calendar coming up, we have Lake City, September 14th and 15th. I'll be out there cooking as well. Please come and visit us under the JT's Barbecue tent. Also, on the 21st, 22nd, we have Malden, the SCBA calendar, and we have Smoke on the Water. So if you're wanting to cook Smoke on the Water, I believe we're booked, and I'm going to let Dupree and Mark talk about that, but I believe they're booked now, so you may want to look at Malden. They'll correct me if I'm wrong. And then the first week of October, we have the Whole Hog Barbecue in Edgefield down with Joel Jolly. So that's a quick look at the SCBA calendar, and I'll send it back tomorrow.
Hey, actually, on the Sentence Inn, I can tell you, we have one to two more spots. A couple guys jockeying around for points, and we've got two that should be cooking in Columbia, but they've elected to cook in Malden, and can't fault them for that. It's a points race, and that's a good thing, but we've still got an incredible lineup here. I think we've still got six or seven of the top ten here at Smoke on the Water, Dupree's event. So if you're interested in this event, give me a call. We can squeeze one more person in for sure.
Okay.
And so anyway, give us a call. Hit me on Facebook or call me direct. You can always go to South Carolina Barbecue Association's website, events calendar, and you can reach Dupree's number directly there. And speaking of Dupree, we're going to bring him in right now. He's a longtime caterer here in Columbia. And Dupree, I hope you're doing well tonight.
Doing great, Mark. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to come join us for a little bit. And we want to promote a number of things down at your place and have been really probably for the last month and a half, 2 months since I met you. Tim and I have been pretty steady on the show here talking about South Carolina specialty foods and Send Us In and Smoke on the Water. But I know you didn't start out that way. You actually started out in the banking business, if I'm correct. How do you go from banking to catering?
Well, it was a savings and loan business. That does not exist anymore, but back in the 60s, that was a wonderful place to be, and I spent most of my 60s in the savings and loan business. Then in 1970, I went into the real estate business, and that's how, believe it or not, through real estate is the way I got into catering, because in the mid-70s, I built a little shopping center out in Dempsville. They call it Northeast now, but then I put a little pick and pay and Family Dollar and had a little space left over, and I rented it to a young man, and he got behind on his rent, and I got into the business. And a lady asked me to bring her 50 sandwiches one day, and I did, and I called it Diplomat Catering, and I've been catering ever since. Now I do it as Dupree, but it literally started 35, 36, 37 years ago, and here I am today.
Well, you know, the one thing about being a caterer, you always have something to eat. Is that correct?
Well, leftovers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had at least one of your recipes, so I can tell you the leftovers is really good. We've tried it here at the house. So.
All right. Thank you.
I can tell you, you recently, and this is how I met you here just this summer, as recently as this summer, and I've heard about you over the years and your business, but you actually started a South Carolina specialty food store right here in Columbia. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it's at the Gervais Street Bridge, one block off at the end of Senate Street. A few years ago, I took over what was known as the Sterling Garden Center, and we have four buildings here. Three of them, people can assemble, have weddings, parties, that type thing in, but the one to the rear, hidden in the back, was a little welding shop called 302 Senate. And one more time, as I did 35 years ago, it was about a little piece of real estate. And I started a retail shop for Artisan's Foods, and I sell only the South Carolina Specialty Food Association's products, like yours, Mark. That's how we met.
Yes, absolutely. Brought some product down. We've done a little demo. In fact, Tim drove up just for that, too. We had a great time out there. Daryl Mass even come down and shot some video. And I know you've gotten a lot of press here through the South Carolina Department of Agriculture. And you actually have a very special event coming up this Monday. It's the South Carolina Buyers Show. You want to tell our listeners a little more about that as well?
Well, Smoke on the Water, the name started at the Kingsman Restaurant. I was in there one night, and I told Henry and Mike, I said, I want to do a little cooking deal. I've met this guy, Mark Busby, and he told me that some people think they can cook better than I can. And and Henry said, let's call it Smoke on the Water. And that grin he's got is infectious. And so we named it Smoke on the Water. Then I checked with you, and here we are doing it 2 weeks from tomorrow, and I'm very excited about it.
Oh, I am too. I know Tim's coming up to cook, John Haney, myself, and like I said, you got a number of the top 10 in the state coming there. It's kind of like the best of the best, really. I mean, you've got all the top guys there, and it should be a great time. It's a beautiful facility, and, you know, really talking about your facility, there's more than just the store there. There's a number of buildings there, and I think an outdoor wedding area and all. Tell us a little bit about the compound and the property and everything.
Well, the old Sterling Garden Center, most people identify the property that way, and that's a good thing because Walter Bull was the business resident then, and he did a wonderful job, and it was a quality place. And when he handed me the gavel, if you will, I continued in his vision. He had a vision of using the property for weddings and that type thing, so I took the Garden Center, the large building, and dedicated it to meetings. And so we have weddings and fundraisers and you name it, we have it there. Then 300 Senate, which is right at the end of Senate Street, it's active and on Sunday with jazz and brunch. And it just made sense to continue that effort to the rear of 300 Senate with 302 Artisans. And Senate's End is what we call it. It's no longer the Garden Center. It's the end of Senate Street. So go away from the Capitol, go to the river, stop. That's where you are on the left. Four beautiful buildings. We're very lucky.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, 100 yards from the river there. And you can literally stand right there in the street and see the Capitol, see Attaloo Flower, a historic place here in town. Many of our viewers, I'm sure, has used Attaloo Flower at some point in time in their life. And you're really just probably 150 yards from the bridge and a beautiful, beautiful facility. We're going to have some teams out there close to the river, and the rest of them will kind of be through the compound of the different buildings and all there. And I, for one, am really looking forward to it. I know some judges have talked to me about it. They're excited about it. I know Tim's excited to be able to come back to Columbia and cook at this one. And we're all a little worried, especially after this last great weekend he really had. But anyway, you mentioned brunch. and a little earlier. What kind of times on Sunday does this brunch run to, and do you have a buffet, or is it menu style, or what?
Well, the buffet starts at 11 o'clock, and we have a piano player, and you've met Johnny. He comes in and picks on the keys, and Gina gets up, my wife. She's pretty, isn't she, Mark?
She is, absolutely.
Yeah. And she's got a pretty voice, too, and she sings with him. Then around 1 o'clock, 1:30, we do a little jazz. This Sunday, we're doing a fundraiser for the Columbia City Ballet, believe it or not. They're going to do a 30-minute act at 1 o'clock, so it'll go from John and Gina to 30 minutes of live ballet and dropping into the afternoon of jazz. And so until 2:30, you can come in and eat from the buffet, and they'll probably play until about 4 o'clock. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, it's a beautiful facility. I've been there a number of times. I haven't made it down there for brunch yet, but I've heard some of the menu items. I know it sounds great, and we're going to get down to actually eat here real soon. But I love the facility. I love just coming out, hanging out at 302. It's real rustic. Gina does a lot of neat things in there. She's got a very creative eye, and she thinks she paints in there, and she does just a number of things. And it's one of those buildings that just kind of catches your eye, and it's just full of not only great products from everyone, but it's just a lot of great artwork. It's a fun time. You do some stuff down there on Saturdays, if I'm not mistaken, too. Is that correct?
Well, Saturday is a day when people get out on the street, and we open 9 to 5 on Saturday, but about 11 o'clock, that old piano guy shows up, John, and fiddles with the keys, and I go out to the farmer's market early and pull some veggies and fruits together and fill up the cart. People can come and buy it. They can buy the wonderful products from the Specialty Food Association. And here again, Gina will get up and sing. You can't keep her from doing that. She loves to sing. And you can come and fix a basket, stuff it full of barbecue sauce or pickles or rubs, jellies, and it's just a neat place to spend an hour or two on Saturday, so it's a lot of fun. You know, Gina's got a little cafe on wheels. She calls it the Carriage Cafe, and it sits out there on Saturday, and if you can keep her from singing, she'll make you a fish taco. You know, it's just a fun place to be on Saturday. And this Saturday, I just want to say, if somebody shows up this Saturday and says Carriage Cafe or Dupree or whatever they want, or they can say Mark Thursby, and we'll give them a free ticket for the entrance into the September 21 barbecue cook-off.
Well, I'm going to pass the word about that. That sounds like a deal. You know, speaking of tickets, I know you have a deal coming up as well. If they mention barbecue shop talk, you're going to do a two-for-one as well.
Well, absolutely. That's just throw some words out, and we want people here. And this is our initial one, Mark, and you've just done a great job of pulling the cooking teams together, and I can't wait for it to start.
Well, Dupree, I want to ask you one question. I know you've been doing this for, like you said, 30-plus years. And over the years, I've always enjoyed funny stories, and I have a couple from some cook teams and all. But what is one of the more interesting stories from your years in catering you run across?
Well, you know, I was in my mid-30s, I guess, back then. I thought that was old. But as life went along and I catered so many things, I've owned bars and restaurants. But the one thing I wanted to do was build me a cooker, sort of like yours. But I didn't want any windows or doors in it. I wanted one that was long enough to hold stoves and ovens. And so in my mid-60s, after doing a little catastrophic catering for the power company, I built a 58-foot rolling kitchen. It had everything in it that Ruby Tuesday's had in it. And I finished it on the last Saturday of August 7 years ago. I had it down in Orangeburg, and I told the guy, bring it on to Columbia. And there was a storm coming around the edge of Florida, and it hit the coast of Louisiana and Mississippi, and the following week, I took that brand new trailer to Biloxi, Mississippi, and I fed over 40,000 people in 6 weeks.
Mm.
And I have to say that it's not about money, it's not about anything, it's just that has to be the most interesting story I could tell about my food years. And it doesn't make me the biggest or the best, but I can tell you this, it'd be hard to top 6 weeks catering job, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, and feeding 40,000 needy people for that. I was not aware of that story. That's the first time I've heard it. That is very, very interesting. I appreciate you sharing that with us. It's been fun talking with you, Dupree, as always. I enjoy hanging out at Senate Street, and I'd encourage other folks to come by this Saturday. Mention Barbecue Shop Talk, get you some tickets. And, Dupree, tell people if they're interested in staging a wedding there or a corporate meeting or anything like that, tell them how they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can email me at Dupree, and by the way, it only has one E in it, D-U-P-R-E, at 302Artisans, ARTISANS.com. And if you want to get to me more quickly, just dial my number, 351-1786, and I would love to hear from you. And the best way to find me, though, is I work 8 days a week right down here on Senate Street. Just come by to see me.
We will see you Saturday morning on something else and come by. I always enjoy spending a little time with you. Enjoy this interview, and thanks for calling in. Tell Gina I said hello, and we'll see you guys on Saturday. And thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Mark.
Tim, Dupree,
yes,
is
sir.
A very, very interesting individual. I know you've met him. Gina is just wonderful. Two great folks. I'm happy I've had an opportunity to meet them, get to know them a little better, and it's really been a pleasure helping work on this event downtown. And, you know, this weekend, 30 minutes of ballet, brunch, get some tickets too for run, get a free ticket this Saturday. I'd encourage anybody out there listening, if you have an opportunity, to go by and say hello. You'll enjoy your time with them. And I think you've got a couple things you need to go over next, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you, we had a great time out there on Senate 10, and I still remember the breakfast tacos we had for breakfast out there. They were delicious.
Absolutely.
Moving on to some SCBA top five MBA standings right now. After this last weekend, we had a contest in Clover, South Carolina. Shook things up a little bit in the standings. So just before the show, I did one last take on the MBA top five. Let's go over them now. In first place currently is Can't Quit Smoking. Second place is Smoking Stacks. Third place is Up in Smoke with Brian Teague. Jack Lake Barbecue is holding your fourth place spot. And Doug Quinn out of Goose Creek with No Pig Left Behind is bringing up the top five in the SCBA Master Barbecue Award points race right now. And I know as the fall season kicks off, those guys are going to be jockeying for position. We should see that shaking up with every contest. So really looking forward to that and seeing who can pull that out on the last contest of this year. We had a great weekend up in Clover, South Carolina. For those of you who didn't come out and stayed in the air conditioning, God bless you, because it was probably the hottest contest that I've ever participated in my life. And I want to say a big public thank you to Rebecca and Garland, who I sit up next to, who have this great invention that they bought somewhere, and I've got to find out where to get it from, called Frog Skin or something like that. Anyway, it's this great little cold-type fabric that simulates frog skin. You dip it in the cooler in the water, and you hold it around your neck, and maybe some of our listeners know what I'm talking about. I'm not doing it very good justice by describing it, but it really, really helped this weekend, Mark. It was so hot out there. I tell you, it was almost unbearable. So I really appreciate this folks of a big GQ for letting me borrow their frog skins and their help keeping me cool out there. Because evidently it works. So JT's Barbecue had a great weekend. We ended up taking first place in pork and also second place in ribs and third place in brisket. So we won the Clover event. And I'll tell you, it was a blessing for sure. And it was really nice to cook against those guys. I can tell you, if you look at the scores, all the scores were tight. So it was right in there. We by no means went there and blew everybody away. It was we fought for every tenth of a point that we had. So it was great. Competing against all those guys and seeing them again. Now, Mark, if you remember last week, we were talking about some top 10 tips for competition. Do you remember that?
Yep, I absolutely do. And I think you stopped at number five. You're going from six on up, I believe.
I think so. Let's go ahead and run through them. Just to give you a quick review, folks, for those new starting out barbecue teams, we were talking about some of the just the top 10 tips that we could come up with to kind of help, you know, on competition day, to kind of help you out there to put out a great product. Quick review of 1 through 5, where we talked about making a packing list before you leave to go out on the competition to make sure you got everything that you need with you. We talk about sauces and injections made at home and labeled, so, you know, you don't have to bring out all this brown sugar and salts and seasonings and all these gallons of liquid. Make all your stuff at home. That way you can do it, have it clean, and bring it with you. We talked about chumming the meat at home if you're on the KCBS contest. Probably wouldn't do it on the SCBA. One thing in Clover this last weekend, when we got there, they wanted to do the meat inspection, and the first time I've ever seen it done in 12 years of competing, they actually probed all of our meats, our ribs and our brisket that we brought in, checking to see if it was 40 degrees or below. So the first time it's ever happened. So if you're doing an SCBA, probably wouldn't trim the meat at home. I'd keep it in the original packing. But KCBS, it's no problem with trimming it at home. Just don't inject it, rub it, or seize it. We talked about making an action plan for each category, just a little synopsis of what you plan to do, kind of how you're going to run that category. You know, it always helps to have some notes. And the number 5 we left off last week was scale down the equipment on the cooking site. You don't need to bring out everything in the entire house. I did see a couple teams in Clover, and I always got to say bless their heart. So bless their heart. They brought everything that they could probably own in the house, and then the neighbor's house too. So I feel sorry for them and that heat packing all that up. So try to scale your equipment down. I'll tell you, it's really going to pay off in the long run. So let's finish it out with number 6. Number 6 is a cook log for each category. We talked about this at the Carolina Outdoor Cooking School, and I talk about them in my cooking schools, is writing down exactly what you do and maintaining a cook log. If you like a copy of my cook log, the one that I use in competition, you can send us an email at barbecueshoptalk.com or request it on Facebook at barbecueshoptalk, and I'll be sure to send you one. But it is invaluable. Last weekend, I've been competing for 12-plus years. I did a cook log on every category I did. I write down what I liked about it, what I didn't like about it, and I'll be making some changes, minor changes, on the next contest. So it's always great to keep a running list. Your DHEC kit. I try to keep everything for DHEC in one box. So when they come to do the inspection, I've got everything there. Mark, this is another contest, I tell you, that I haven't seen this in a long time, but DHEC showed up. Haven't seen them out there in several years. They showed up Friday night, did the complete inspection, and then they actually came back at turn-in the next morning and probed the meat we were serving for the public. So they were really health conscious, which is great. Yeah, so just make sure you got all your DHEC stuff together. One thing I talk about whenever we're doing competition classes is also having a turn-in tackle box. And this is a term that I've come up with. It's a tackle box that has everything I need for turn-in, from, you know, odor-free moist towelettes to Q-tips to napkins to rubber gloves, everything that I need for turn-in only. So that way when it comes, it's time for me to start focusing on turn-in, I got a clean table, I've got everything I need in one big tackle box. I can open it up. It's got my electric knife in there. It's got some offset spatulas in there. It's everything I need to build that turn-in box. Some basting brushes. That way I'm not, you know, running through a trailer, running through the truck, trying to find equipment to make a turn-in box. Number 9, make sure you have room for your trophies. Everybody's going to go out there and win a trophy, right? And this actually happened to us one time where we won a couple of trophies, and the organizers were really proud about the trophies. They were like 6 feet tall, and I didn't even know how to get them home. I had to put them inside of the pit and drop them back home. And by the time I got home, they were pretty much broken. But always make sure you got a little bit of room for a trophy. And last but not least, number 10, an after-action report. This is what I do every time I finish a contest. That Sunday, I sit back down, and I go through, and I make a report of what happened, what I liked about it, what I didn't like about it, as far as my performance. And I'm telling you, folks, once you start writing it down and you see kind of where you're at, it's easier to make small changes, and those changes are really going to pay off for you in the long run. So there you have it. That's my top 10 tips to give out to new or aspiring or maybe some seasoned barbecue competition teams, and you know, take it with a grain of salt, or go ahead and write it down and use it. Again, if you want any of my reports that I use, I'll be glad to send you out the templates so you can kind of keep up on that stuff. Mark, we'll send it back up to you for, I understand we got an internet question, so we'll get to the internet question now.
We do, and I'll actually tell you that I appreciate you sharing all those tips and all. They will be invaluable to you, especially some of the guys that first starting out. Makes a lot of sense, a number of them, and I would encourage anybody out there to get the call log, because I've told folks over the years, back in the day when before you moved to Florida and you were winning everything, there's a lot of people saying, you know what, I don't understand how he wins all the time. And they're sitting over there just tossing a few cold ones back. I said, you know what? He's out working you. He's logging everything in. He's just really working, paying attention to what he does. And a lot of people kind of got it. They didn't realize that. So it makes a difference. I mean, the harder you work at it, the better you're going to get at it. So anyway.
It really does. And what I found out a long time ago, and that's why the competition now is so tight, is folks are really picking up on that. Not because I did it, but just because the word spread kind of nationally among competition teams, is that when you look at the score, you see where you're finishing. I was finishing third, fourth place by 0.02 of a point sometimes. And I was like, you know what? I'm not leaving any points on the table, no matter what it is. So if I can bust my butt and make up 0.02, 0.03, 0.04 of a point in appearance, I just went from fourth to first place.
Yep.
You know, so if you got to write everything. And the only way you're going to do that is by writing it down. You can't drink all night and throw together what we call a crisis box. Oh, my gosh, it's 9:30. Throw the pork in a box and, you know, can't do that. You have to go into these contests with a game plan. You've got to exercise that game plan, see where you end up, make minor changes along the way until you get where you want to be. And then a lot of it is still in the judge's hands, but don't leave any points on the table. So, absolutely. Yeah. So what's our internet question this week, Mark?
The internet question is, what kind of wireless thermometer would you recommend? Now, I'll put my take on it, and you correct me if you've got something else to add to it. You have a different one. I think for general cooking and everything, a Maverick ET 732 is a great one. They had one older version of it, and I think it was a 532, where you actually had to open the battery box and turn part of it on one of the units, and it was a little annoying, and it didn't save your settings. Well, the new 732 has a pit probe, food probe. You can use it on a grill outside, but you can also use it in an oven inside. It has warning alerts, and it has a range of 300 feet, and I've tested it to at least 100 feet here at my house, so I know it works there, works great, got a great backlighting for the screen, and the settings you put in are actually stored, so that the older model you used to cut it off, you had to reset all your highs and lows and food temp and everything. You don't have to do this on this one. I actually have two of them, and I just thoroughly enjoy them. I would highly recommend them. They also have a countdown timer, and it will beep at you. It will alert you if the set of gas goes out or something. Your charcoal drops completely out. It will alert you on all that, and it goes up to 572 degrees, which is a little beyond low and slow for me. But anyway, you got a take on the Maverick?
Yeah, that would be what I use. I don't really use a lot of wireless thermometers anymore or wired thermometers. I only use those pretty much in my classes now, so folks can really get an idea on what we're talking about as far as meat and stalls and turning collagen and last into gelatin. So I only use them in classes now. You can't beat DTs. Chris Finney, a good friend of ours, used to sell them, probably still does. And that's where I probably bought four over the years. And, that's exactly what I would use, Mark. That's a great question and a great product, so I definitely stick with that.
And just to let you know, you can Google Maverick ET732, and you can find them Amazon owned, and they run anywhere. I've seen them as low as $49. I think they're normally around $60. And if you have a charcoal unit and you wanted to bump up to something to really maintain everything, and it was a fan motor, you could jump up to a Guru, but it's a considerable amount. So if you're kind of new to it or part-time out there, you know the Maverick 732, you're not going to go wrong with. Highly recommend it. Got Tim's take on it, and I think we're just about out of time for tonight.
Yeah, it's always the fastest half hour in barbecue. Just to let everybody know, talk about a few of the upcoming classes. We do have our Girls with Grills classes coming up on November the 10th. We've got a great response to that already. I've been putting out some information, sending out some flyers. I know we got some folks signed up already. Looking like it's going to be a sellout, so we're looking forward to that. Just to let everybody know, we will have some special Alvaron custom cookers on site that are done just for the ladies. I'll be seeing John with Alvaron tomorrow morning. We also want to say a big congratulations to him and Ever Brown with Swan Time for their great finish in the SBN up in Myrtle Beach last weekend. But during our Girls with Grills class, we'll have some Mary Kay door prizes. We're also going to have some South Carolina specialty food women-owned businesses there doing some demos and talking a little bit and kind of spreading the wealth. That's going to be a great class. For everyone asking, all of the Palm Key Resort classes in October are sold out. So if you'd like to come and spend a week with me doing nothing but barbecue, please visit our 2013 calendar, which can be found at barbecueshoptalk.com. Also, want you know that next Thursday, we'll be talking a little bit about the top 10 tips for charcoal. We've had some charcoal questions. So we're going to answer all your questions about charcoal, hardwood, lump, what to buy, how to burn it, when to burn it, where to get it, how to store it, and also a lot of good information coming next Thursday. Tune in for that. And, Mark, again, the fastest half hour of barbecues is gone already.
Absolutely. It's just about gone. We have a very exciting guest for next week. I encourage you to tune in to check him out. And, again, we want to say one thing about Everett and John last weekend. Actually, with their win as a grand championship down at the beach, Myrtle Beach, they were invited to the World Food Championships in Las Vegas, Nevada, on November 1st through the 4th. And I think Smoking Stacks is going out there as well. So we've got a couple local teams doing real well, going out to represent Southern Barbecue in a great state of Nevada. So we're excited for them. Tim, as always, it's a pleasure. And we're going to send it out here with a little bluegrass right now.
Go Gamecocks.